When it comes to trials and tribulations, we don't like it. Persecution? Oh, we run from it. Yet, we do have brothers and sisters worldwide that are suffering persecution, and that's different from trials and temptations and struggles. Persecution is the active punishment for being a Christian. Yet, God tells us that we're blessed if we're persecuted. That is the challenge before us today as we take a final look at our series on the Beatitudes. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We are back in Matthew for a final look at our Beatitudes series. Blessed are those that are persecuted. And what this means is the subject of our time together today. As we begin our time together, we do so as the cross-reference in 1 Peter.
He said, listen, for dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Then he says this, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Now, that's not what we typically run around saying I'm blessed about, but he said, you're blessed if you're insulted. He said, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, though, it should not be as, now think about this. This is why I said we need to kind of consider what it's not for a minute. It should not be as a murderer or as a thief or as any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. That's a really interesting interjection, you know. Not as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal. There was a reason Jesus was always concerned to not give offense. Pay the taxes. Lest we offend, pay the taxes. This is really important. God in times in his providence sends fiery trials upon us. And they are to test us. They are to test us. They are to show the character of the Christian and show what's in our hearts. But some are persecuted in this life for the sole reason that they become, with the badge of being a Christian, obnoxious rebels. Peter even mentions a meddler here. You can bring a lot of hardship on your life simply because you are meddling in things that God never called you to meddle in. Your calling is to lead a quiet life in all godliness and to not meddle in things you shouldn't meddle in. That can lead to a lot of persecution in your life, even from the government. In some way, we kind of lived through a fiery ordeal not so long ago with COVID, didn't we? Yeah, it was not that was such a blur. What a weird time. What a strange time we endured. God sent this fiery trial on the whole world, really. In my opinion, you know, I look back at it and I thought about how much should I say about this. Now, I was frustrated with the government and the way they handled it big time. You know, I was really frustrated. I thought it was handled terribly in many ways. In my opinion, that's what my position is looking back on it. They shut down everything. Remember that time? Remember all the emotions and the things it drew out? Remember the war in the church? Remember all the fighting over this? Remember the rebels? The church was faced with an important question, of course, of what that meant for worship. We saw all the inconsistencies. We saw all the problems. We had to wrestle strongly with what does that mean for the command of God to worship? Churches everywhere initially shut down, remember? And some of the well-known churches cited even Richard Baxter that said, for a pandemic, of course we shut down. We believed the need to worship, pure and simple. And what we did as a church is we tried to work through the ordinances at the time to still gather, you know. We were outside for a while, you know. Was that all that bad? I mean, you got to bring lawn chairs, you know. I saw some of you in shorts that never wore shorts before. We didn't want to draw attention to ourselves through that, did we? mean, if we could work through the avenues to try to still worship and not bring offense, wasn't that probably the best way? If you look back at COVID, it was really remarkable. For almost the whole duration of COVID, maybe not those first weeks, we were out worshiping. We were trying not to draw offense or attention to ourselves. I thought the elders here were very wise in the way they handled it. Others said, of course, forget the government. We're going back inside and we're denying it all. Now, they had that, I guess, right? But those churches were held up when the government came down on them as being persecuted as the most faithful churches because they stood straight, strong in the face of opposition. In some cases, directly challenging the government did receive backlash when the offense probably was avoidable. I didn't like any of it. It was a confusing time. What a confusing time, whatever position people landed in. What a confusing time. The point is, many people viewed that as persecution. Let me ask. There were probably some cases of persecution, but were we really persecuted? Really? I mean, I think it's an important question. Can anybody say that really, in a widespread level, COVID brought persecution on Christians only? Or was this, even if you call it irresponsible, a massive shutdown of everything? Sure, I thought really unjust when casinos were open and churches couldn't be. That was bad. Were we still able to worship? Clear answer is yes, when we figured it out. My point is, a lot of so-called Christians are persecuted in this life because, as Martin Lloyd-Jones says, they are fighting for a cause. And in that way, they become obnoxious. John Calvin described in his day, "Today also," and I quote, "those crackpot Anabaptists who cause so much trouble in the world, who denounce governments and magistrates, the unity of the church, never tire of repeating this phrase, 'Blessed are those who suffer persecution.' Yes, but," he says, "do they suffer persecution for righteousness' sake?" The answer is no. The opposite is true. We should have the word righteousness firmly written in our hearts and ensure that whenever we are persecuted, our conscience testifies before God that our cause is just. And that takes wisdom, doesn't it? He says, "For that is the mark chosen by Christ to distinguish his disciples from those who are brigands, thieves, murderers, blasphemers, and adulterers." In general, we misunderstand persecution, I think, in America. A lot of people want out of California right now, you know. Which they have a right to do. I'm not condemning that. But the reason that a lot of people want out of California is because they think the government's persecuting them. I had someone write to me this week and say, about those staying in California, about you. "Throughout church history, including the last century, there are times when God's people must flee the onslaught of the wicked. Firsthand, my German grandparents and my mother fled oppression, rape, and starvation under Soviet military. My heart breaks to watch Christian friends and missions colleagues in California frequently lose their children and grandchildren to the local pagan culture." I said, well... I said, "If that were true, my friend, then I'd probably flee too. Guns are not put to my head for preaching the gospel today. I can still send my kids to whatever form of schooling I want, Christian schooling. Am I being persecuted for the faith? Really? Hardly. Right now. That day may come. But until we receive actual persecution, then I believe I'm called to minister in Nineveh unless God calls me out of here. I don't want to be at the bottom of the ocean." Most are leaving for political reasons. Is that right? Most are leaving because of the culture war. But let's be clear. That's not persecution. Remember when, I thought about coming back to California from Washington. I said, I don't want to pay high taxes. I don't want to go back to that place. I don't want to deal with the politics as if Washington's was better. I remember Reverend Kaminga said, it's hard. I don't know if I want to put my children in a California culture. I've got Lyndon. It's safe. He goes, what do you mean? In his, direct way. And I said, well, he goes, you mean safe maybe riding your bike, but it's not safer spiritually. It was that comment that so affected me in considering this call. Now, what is Jesus talking about? And by the way, I haven't lost my kids, as far as I know, to the pagan culture. The Lord has really upheld my children here, and it's been wonderful. Thankful for their teachers. What does Jesus say? Blessed are those who are persecuted, not for a cause, not for the expediency of living a better life. So one pastor said, blessed are those who are persecuted, not because they're having a hard time in their Christian life, or because they're being difficult, or because they seriously lack wisdom and are really foolish and unwise in what they regard as being their testimony, or are objectionable. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's something entirely different. The persecution Jesus is talking about has to do with who you are and what you believe. Acts 5:29 is your verse. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin and questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in that name, because Caesar's Lord, and you will bow to Caesar. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. You're done teaching and preaching the name of Jesus Christ. Do you hear us, or you will go to prison? And what was their response? We must, said Peter, obey God rather than human beings. That's what he's talking about. He's describing who we are and what we believe. Our fundamental difference in this life, it's all counterintuitive, of course. We are not hated because we're quarrelers and fighters. Or when people offend us, as we looked at last week, and we take it personally, and once we take it personally, then the war starts. No. We are patient. It is that we are patient and we are pursuing righteousness' sake. For righteousness' sake. It's what you stand for. We hate evil. We promote what's good. We live in a culture that calls evil good and good evil, and we can't go with that. We see the bigger picture. That people need peace with God. And that our concern is that in our jobs and in who we are, we don't have to just do that for people to see us. It's in us that we promote honesty and integrity, and we deal honestly, and we pay taxes, and we are people who are upright. We love truth. We do the best we can to live our lives blamelessly in this crooked generation. We love our enemies. We're called to bless them and not curse them. We try to help the needy, and we do it sincerely. We bless those who hate us, and we bless and do not curse. We do kindness to all, and we want to see justice. We want to see what's right in the world. We want to see what's morally true in the world. We care about what is true and what is right to advance in the world. That's best for our neighbor. And we bear witness to the gospel. We tell people the truth even when it's hated. And we get all this pressure not to. But we know it's best for them, because it was best for us. And because of all that, you are naturally hated. The character of the Christian as a peacemaker, seeks peace with God and man, earns at times the rising up of the world's hatred in God's providence. That's one of the great examples, I think, in the scripture. You say, well, show this to me. You know, show me an example of this. I'll give you, I think, was a really clear example right from the beginning. Why did Cain kill Abel? What did Abel do? He worshiped the Lord. He was faithful in worship. He trusted Christ. He was an aroma of life and death to Cain. And why did he murder him? That's John's question. Why did Cain murder his brother? He said this, because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. In other words, Abel patiently worshiped the Lord with a sincere heart. It wasn't, I mean, people can play the game and it wasn't fun. No, this Cain knew it was real. Cain saw it. It bothered him. Because it was real. And that drove his hatred of Abel. Abel was not a rebel rouser. Abel was not provoking Cain. Abel was not taunting Cain. Abel loved Cain. Abel wanted the best for Cain. Abel wanted Cain to be in worship. Abel wanted Cain to be righteous. And Cain's jealousy rose up and murdered his brother. There's your first account of persecution in the Bible. We look at everything, as I said last time, through the lens of the gospel. Why does the world hate us? Why is there someone in your life who provokes you and treats you terrible and who's always bothered with you and who is cruel and unkind? It's not because you're behaving as a jerk, is it? You might earn it for that, but that's not persecution for righteousness' sake. It's precisely the opposite. You're the aroma of life, or you're the aroma of death. It's because you care for them. It's because you pray for them. It's because you speak what's most important to them. It's because you love them. And at some point, like Judas, they snap. And that's true in the church. Let me say, you know, the greatest enemies of the faith have been informal Christianity to persecute the righteous. If you stand for something today, listen, in a culture that has no conviction, church culture, and you stand for worship, and you stand for the holiness of God above all, and you take worship seriously, and you value who God is, and you take sin seriously, and people see that, they will say, what a bunch of fuddy-duddies. Is that the worst of our persecution right now? And we try to downplay all that, because we're afraid that people will think we're better. This naturally goes with conviction. Jesus said, they'll throw you out of the synagogues. Remember the man born blind? All he did was testify, you know, to the fact that Jesus gave him sight, and they ex-synagogued him. They cast him out. You see, and I see, now I come back to where we started. God's hand has rested ever so lightly upon us for a long time. But there will be times in providence under his control that persecution is going to come. That's part of his sovereign appointment too. That is his sovereign plan to mark you as his people. We're all trying to stop it today because we're afraid of it. We don't retaliate. We don't return evil for evil. We bless and do not curse. That's his way of distinguishing us. You see? Every square inch we hear today. Amen. Every square inch is under his lordship. And guess what that includes? Persecution. That we are not called to escape at times, but to realize the blessedness of what Jesus is saying to us. And it's at this point Jesus leaves us in the Beatitudes with the greatest encouragement. When we face things, and it may be boys and girls at the school for simply standing up for what's right, and you're ridiculed, it may be as basic as that. When we face these things, we tend to be discouraged. Or we think God's protection has left us. His sovereign shield around us has left us. Remember what Job said? When he felt that sovereign protection had left, he said, wait, wait, wait. Does God not send both good and evil? When we face these things, Jesus says this, blessed are you. When people insult you, and they persecute you, and they falsely say all kinds of evil against you, why? What's the big reason? They don't really hate you. They hate him because of me. And here is how he encourages us. When you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, he says, yours is the kingdom. He elaborates, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's what Jesus says is evidence. You're his children. A much better reward is held out for you. Think about your reward, you know, and the Lord encourages us. Sometimes I think we get nervous about rewards. He wants you to know he's going to reward you. He has a reward for you. He's rewarding you for just being who you are as his children. Wow. What a privilege. You have a better home that awaits, and these things that happen to us, of which we have no control in a culture gone mad, because you can't help being who you are. This is who you are. You are Christ. He's bought you. He's purchased you. And he has identified you with the living God since he identified with us. I don't know what's coming. All indications are that a time of serious persecution is going to come on the church in the West. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think we celebrate that. I don't think Jesus is saying, just be glad when you're persecuted. That's not, he's not saying to celebrate persecution. He's telling you to celebrate what it says about you. It's a sad state of affairs for them, but never think that being hated for righteousness' sakes indicates God is absent from you. There's no reason for fear, for he himself, Jesus, has promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. May we have grace to see the privilege of being hated as Jesus was. When the apostles were beaten for their faith, I have never yet had rods put to my back for the faith. When the apostles were beaten for the faith, what did they do? They went away rejoicing. When Paul and Silas were in prison for the faith, every square inch, sovereign appointment by God, they sang psalms. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. That's the perspective Jesus wants us to have. If God in his providence calls us to suffer for righteousness' sake, take joy. Be cheerful. It's all a mark. You're my children. And if it's in God's providence that this is to come, he will uphold us. And that will be a great witness to those who are in the darkness.
Well, this has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. And our time together studying God's Word, it is our hope and prayer you come away from our time together encouraged in that time of study. If you have questions or comments about the radio program, your own walk with Christ, we would love to hear from you. Now, you can reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Again, that's agradio.org. You'll find past programs that you can review at your convenience, as well as other platforms you can sign up and follow us on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those links are all, again, at our website, agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach out to us by phone. That number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Simply put, you are a vital, important cog in this wheel of ministry, if you will. Through your financial and prayerful support, we are able to continue this radio ministry here on the station you're listening to right now. Would you prayerfully consider getting involved financially and, most importantly, prayerfully? And then let us know
Again, you can give us a call at 888-504-8805 or visit agradio.org and drop us a note there. And then come back and join us next time as our studies will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.